The David Roddy Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
Just 5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you. I'm hearing the wind out there, starting to pick up. But so be safe. Be safe and settle down, settle in, and listen to the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. And boy, is it exciting to be a Ram, to be a Rams fan. Not only are the Colorado State Rams still undefeated after winning a close one against Mississippi State, they cracked the top 25. In fact, sitting at number 23. David, my man, first off, congratulations on that. The last time a Rams team Rams basketball team has been in the top 25 was the 2014-15 season. So it's been a little while. Congrats, my friend.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. It's awesome.
Yeah, and what a special game. And, hey, I know all these great accolades are coming up, but we just started a new feature on the show, our Player of the Week, and so far the Rams dominate. Isaiah Stevens was week one, and you, my friend, you took that thing in a landslide in week two. So, boy, you keep winning games like this. I should just call the award the Colorado State Rams Award.
Oh, man, hopefully we can continue this trend for sure. That would be awesome.
All right, let's break into this Mississippi State game. That is a very good basketball team. You guys were back and forth in that first half, back and forth in the second half. You did enough at the end. I love what Nico Bedved had to say. He's like, all I know is at the end I looked up and we had more points than them. I mean, did it feel like it was just kind of one of those games, those kind of nasty games that you have to find a way to pull out in the end?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, Mississippi State is a great team, a great program. An SEC team. They're tough and physical, as well as really skilled as well. So, I hope they're a tournament team for sure. And it was a huge win for us. But yeah, definitely just going through the game and having a slow first half for everybody and not having that defensive intensity that we usually have was tough, but bouncing back was a great win and it was a great feeling.
David, I always look at those games where you say maybe it wasn't the prettiest thing in the world that you guys have produced. I actually always look at those games and say, yeah, but you won. I feel better about that. If you play your best game ever and lose, then you think, man, what do we got to do? How do we get over the hump? We played fantastic. But when I feel like, things are kind of gritty, kind of just that old school basketball style, you find a way to walk away with the W. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I would say so. The team's ceiling is super, super high, and we're still nowhere near close of what we can really be. So, just to pull out wins with our experience and our grit and our resilience, is a huge testament to the program. Freshman and sophomore year, we would, maybe 50-50, maybe pull it out. But now it's like, hey, we're still in the game no matter what the score is. So. Having that emotional and mental maturity is a huge part, of our DNA. So hopefully that, will continue on, later in the season.
As we said, you had a beautiful game, 19 points, 3 blocks in this one, 3 assists, 7 rebounds. And then you get in that 1,000-point club too, David. I mean, it's just like every single time we refresh CSU's Twitter page or we look at the news or you or somebody on this team is doing something kind of historic. I mean, do you stop and think about that much? Because, I mean, it seems like every single day there's a little slice of history being made by this team.
Yeah, it's definitely more present in my daily thinking. I don't really think about it too much, just because of just the competitiveness of the team and the mindset of the team. Like, hey, we're still not where we're supposed to be and or where we want to be and everything. But it definitely is it's definitely important to take time and reflect on how far us as a team we've come. So taking the time to celebrate that as well and so hopefully celebrating about 2 more soon here and that 1,000-point milestone is huge. So I can't wait for them to you know, reach that point so I could celebrate with them.
Yeah, well, I know that's kind of the MO for you guys. It's team first, and you know, individual stats are great. You guys, you know, you're happy about them, but everybody on this team gets it. It's about the end result. It's about the wins. What was Mississippi State doing, David, specifically in that first half to kind of slow you guys down and get you a little bit out of your out of sync, so to speak?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, using their physical prowess against us, I feel like, you know, they pressured the ball and our pressure our entry passes a lot. And, you know, that slowed us down a little bit, as well as, you know, they're a big physical team and they wanted to get the ball into the post. So, you know, using their length and their size and, you know, hitting open shots when needed, but also understanding, like, hey, we got a 6'10 and 6'11 guy in the post, so let's use them. And you know, some of their guys caught fire beyond the arc, so you know, it was just a recipe for, you know, a big deficit. But you know, we held strong and stay consistent, and then, you know, again, kudos to them for playing great. But you know, I'm really proud of my team for pulling out that win.
Dave, what is it about you two specifically? It just seems like, now again, there's plenty of games, more than plenty of games, where you're pretty much rolling throughout. But there has been, I've noticed this, a few games at least, there's just this something just clicks for you, this intensity thing that just really runs through you, and suddenly you're doing everything on the court. You're just stuffing. It's almost like you looked up and you're like, oh, I got a quota to fill, and then you just go crazy. What is that about these late game situations or crucial games? Situations where you just really come to life?
Yeah, I think it's just the feel for the game. You know, I've played basketball my entire life, so you know, understanding, you know, when and where I can, you know, impact the game is pretty big. You know, offensively, you know, if I'm not, you know, scoring as much as I want to or as I planned on doing at that time, you know, I focus on my defensive intensity and sharing the ball with others as well. So, you know, as soon as, you know, you see that you sense the momentum shift, it's a lot easier to, you know, make back-to-back plays just because that's the beauty of basketball. So understanding that, you know, all we need is one momentum shift and it just starts snowballing. I even looked at the highlights back then and, you know, we were down, I think, 8 or something, and, you know, we hit our first transition 3. And then Jaylen Lake hit one, and then Kendall hit one, and then I got an M1, and then, you know, John hit one, and then, you know, it just kind of snowballed into, you know, a big lead for us. So just understanding that the momentum shift can happen at any time and understanding when it does happen, that's when you start, you know, playing your best and trying to, you know, continue that into the rest of the game.
It's amazing too, because you can feel it as a fan watching, or whether you're there or even on the tube on TV. I seriously can feel it when one of you guys hits a shot or comes up with a key stop or steal. You can just, in back of my mind, I'm always going, oh, okay, that point. Let's mark this moment down as when that momentum changes, and you can almost set your watch by it, man. I mean, that's what's so exciting about this team, is there's a moment or two that clicks, and then it's like, oh, okay, they got this.
Right, right, yeah. I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, again, we don't need many of those, you know, for the rest of the season, but, you know, it's basketball, so, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So, you know, for us to be prepared like that and to be, again, you know, a veteran team and an experienced team, we know when those, you know, situations happen, and, you know, it's a lot of fun to be in that situation.
Can we take a moment to talk about one of your teammates, too, Deshaun Thomas? I thought he had a really, one of those tough games, those games you needed. What I love about this team so much is so many guys can score, but there's so many guys on this team, including yourself, that can say, okay, maybe tonight scoring isn't needed of me. Maybe defense, maybe rebounding, maybe this. Deshaun Thomas, I thought, was really gritty in that game. He came away with only 4 points, but 10 rebounds. I loved his game, though, against Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just a testament to his hard work. You know, he really took that personally in the offseason of getting stronger and more developed. And, you know, again, you know, that just shows his character of being a selfless player. You know, he can really shoot the ball and really score the basketball. But, you know, that's just really wasn't what we needed at that moment. He told me himself after the game, he's like, that was the most physical game I've ever played. And I was just really proud of him for, you know, competing against those SEC bigs, the way he did and dominate on the glass, because, I mean, we really needed that at the end. I think we out-rebounded them the entire game, which is an awesome feat for us, you know, just because, you know, comparing us to their size and everything. So, I mean, he's due for a 30-point game as well. So hopefully we'll see that pretty soon here.
Yeah, and maybe this weekend, coming up against a tough team in Tulsa. They've had a pretty interesting schedule, too, and I know we'll get to more details as far as what's ahead. But that team, you know, they've lost a few. They played a team in your conference in Boise State. They had a close one there. I think they lost by 3 or 4 there. But this is another really solid basketball team, kind of one of those gritty basketball teams.
Yeah, definitely. Tulsa is a great opponent for us. You know, they'll challenge us on the defensive end as well as the offensive end, and just trying to figure out, you know, their defense. You know, we played them, you know, in a great a showdown, you know, my freshman year. So, you know, there's definitely going to be a little bit of animosity towards that as well as, you know, just excitement just to play them again. So, yeah, they're definitely a great opponent.
Now, I want to get into more details on Tulsa. We saw Alabama lose last night as well, and I know that game's coming up. A couple games left before we get into conference play, and two pretty interesting opponents, and I want to get to that. But, David, of course, we got to load up the questions. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, and I know you're always ready for this, you never know what's coming, but we take time to get to know David Roddy. So we've got some questions coming in here, and we're gonna fire a match if you're ready, my friend.
I'm ready.
He's always ready. David Roddy. It's the David Roddy Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mornings with Gale, weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Oh, that wonderful tune there lets us know it's time for getting to know David Roddy. Welcome back to the David Roddy Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. David, we're getting a lot of, like, overall college stuff here. So more of, like, an inner look at some of the things. People asking about transfer portal and all that stuff. So I hope, and again, if any time you're like, dude, I'm not really comfortable with that, you just say no comment. You know, we get enough of that anyway. So you can always just fire that at us.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right, let's get to a couple of, let me see here, a couple of quick ones here. Steve asking, ask him, this is from Twitter, ask him if he can flip the basketball football script and talk Trey McBride into setting some screens in the Wyoming game at Moby. What do you think? You think you can pull some strings?
Man, I'll try to sneak into that extra 4 years of eligibility for basketball. So I'll hit Trey up, and he can box out all the bigs over there.
Hey, okay, so you're a legendary player for the basketball team. Trey McBride, obviously a legendary player for the football team. Do you guys talk? I always wonder that. Do you talk to a lot of the other studs? Is that just like a known thing? You guys are like magnets, and you're like, hey, you're a stud here, I'm a stud here. What's going on?
You know, just recently I started, you know, reaching out. I congratulated him on, you know, being the best tight end in the country, as we already knew, even before the season started. But, you know, I have the number now, and, you know, we'll definitely, you know, talk and just, you know, share experiences and everything. Nico Carvacho actually introduced us my freshman year. So, you know, I got to know him and have a lot of respect for him and what he does.
It's just like the greats. You guys, the greats kind of just figure out how to talk to each other. Nico Carvacho, man, what another great. I know I'm sidestepping here, but what a great guy Nico was, of course. And I know that was in that transition period with Coach Medved and such. But how cool was that for him to stick around that final year as you were really kind of coming to your own?
Yeah, it was great. You know, he was really the big brother of all of us. You know, when we first came in as freshmen, you know, took us under his wing and showed, you know, what CSU is all about and, you know, how to, you know, change the culture. You know, his approach every day to, you know, basketball was, you know, unlike any other. He worked his tail off, and beat us up as freshmen. So now, you know, we're grabbing rebounds of our own and everything. So, man, I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, great guy for sure. And I know he thinks the world of you and this entire Rams program. And I can see his tweets and all the stuff coming out. He's following this team closely. And I always love to see that, too, because obviously he's doing some great stuff. Well, he's hurt, but he's still doing some big stuff in his basketball career. Okay, here's another one for you, David. This one from the Ram U. Ask him if his little brothers play ball, too, and can we expect a Roddy pipeline to CSU?
Well, actually, I am the youngest of my brothers, so I'm basically the last one. I have four older brothers, so they all did play basketball. Two of them, or one of them, played basketball at the collegiate level, junior college and NAIA and everything. So, I'm the last of the Roddy boys, so. We'll see what happens in the future with, you know, my nieces or nephews.
Nieces and nephews. Well, it could still be the Roddy pipeline, I suppose. But this is why we have this segment, of course, because David can dispel some of those things. There were some people that said you didn't like playing basketball until you were like last year. Remember that question?
And yeah, I remember it. It was completely off.
David's been playing basketball for quite a while. This texture from the 720. How's the team handling the spotlight? Because you certainly top 25 now. You got Dick Vitale talking about you guys, legendary college basketball guy, saying keep an eye on Colorado State. How are you guys handling that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Through this year, we've just been having a day by day mindset, understanding again, like I said earlier, to be present and so, you know, celebrate the small victories and everything. And, you know, we did, and we had a huge applause when we got that news. But, you know, we had practice 15 minutes after that. Like, we still have to worry about Tulsa, you know, this Saturday and a great team in Alabama next Tuesday. So understanding, like, hey, it's a part of the process, and, you know, this is where, you know, we want it to be. But, you know, there's still a lot to play for. So, just understanding that, you know, hey, that's an awesome, notoriety part. But you know, that's definitely not, you know, where we're supposed to, you know, we're not content with that. So, you know, just taking it day by day and working hard is what gets us through it.
I'll ask this one. This is a follow-up on that question from another texter. And I kind of know your answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway, saying, hey, does that add more pressure knowing? Because you knew you were going to get there anyway. I mean, we talked about it, and eventually we all felt it would happen. But once you see it, once you just – that number 23, the texter wants to know, does that add any more pressure at all?
I don't say it adds any pressure. There's really no pressure in playing basketball. You know, it's a childhood game that – you know, we all love to play, so we just want to enjoy it and take, you know, every opportunity that comes with it. So, you know, just understanding that, you know, teams this year are definitely, you know, going to give us their best every single game. Understanding that already is a huge part of this season. So it doesn't add any pressure to us. You know, we know that, you know, the country, you know, has you know, given us respect and everything. So, you know, that part of it's done. So, now we just have to just continue to be us and continue to get better.
Got this texter. And again, this is getting to know David. If you want to text the program with more questions, text us on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. This one from John. This is an interesting one. Would you rather make the ESPN top 10 for shattering a backboard or hitting a game winner from across the court?
Game winner across the court.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I think that's way too messy. You got to shatter the board and it's clean up, and then you got to stop playing for a while.
Yeah, the game's gonna stop. Like, I don't want it to stop. I want to win the game.
This one from this is more of an NBA question. Did you, David? Did you check out Steph Curry made history? He broke the 3-point record last night.
Yeah, I did. I watched it, so it was an amazing moment. The more I grow in basketball, the more Steph Curry's just become an all-time favorite of mine. So. Just watching him play and compete is just amazing. So, you know, he deserves it, and, you know, hopefully he'll, you know, make 1,000 more.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put it past him, man. He kind of, you know, he's still got a lot of basketball left. So I would imagine, yeah, he's gonna make that record. Really, do you think it'll get broken in your lifetime, the 3-point record?
Man, by the pace of you know, shooters and the way that the game has changed, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, when I'm older. you know, one kid who is idolizing Steph Curry now, as, you know, I did LeBron James or, you know, anybody when I was younger, you know, those people will definitely start shooting threes and only threes. So I wouldn't be surprised if you know, it was surpassed in my lifetime.
I think that's a great point by you, too, because I saw a stat this morning, David, that was showing the, you know, how people were breaking records. And it was like from the 80s to the late 90s, and then it was a 10-year span and a shorter span. So, I mean, we're seeing, you know, when Steph Curry broke Ray Allen's, you know, Ray Allen was in the league, I think he retired in 2014. So, you know, he wasn't gone for extremely long as far as being retired until Curry broke it. So I think you're right. The guys that are breaking the record, are kind of setting themselves up for the records to be broken, right? Because you're seeing a lot of players really try to change their game. And if you can shoot the three, you know, at that lethal level, doesn't matter the size, doesn't matter what. I mean, you could play at a very high level.
Right, definitely.
We have David Roddy. It's the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. This is an interesting question, David, about the transfer portal. They just kind of want to know vaguely, I suppose. What are your thoughts on the transfer portal? I mean, today's a big day. We got signing day. We got transfers going in and out. It's tough to keep track of, but now you don't have to sit out. So sometimes it feels like the wild, wild west. What do you think? Obviously, you're pretty chill with what's going on with your situation with CSU. But when you look at the transfer portal and the landscape now, great thing for college basketball, interesting thing, bad thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. You know, there is always, you know, the transfer portal is always talked about as a negative connotation to it. But understanding that not all of the stories are like that, you know, understanding that, you know, making a decision at a young age, at a school, you know, people aren't so lucky with, you know, who they, you know, decided to choose. And, you know, they, again, end up, whatever happens, that they, you know, end up regretting that decision and wanting to, you know, find a place better for themselves. I'm all for that because, you know, again, you're young and you're 18 and, you know, there might not be a lot of environmental factors that, you know, help you making that decision. So, you know, having that opportunity to find a better place for you is great. But on the other end, I mean, you know, again, the negative connotation is like, oh, he didn't play, so, you know, he wants to transfer, so that's soft. Like, I don't really like that. And also understanding for other athletes is that, you know, the grass might not always be greener on the other side as well. So it's a slippery slope, but, you know, I am for, you know, the transfer portal, but understanding, you know, that there's a story to every single transfer. There's never always I didn't play and I feel like I should play, so I'm going to go to this other team so I can play. It's more of understanding where you are and if you're comfortable at that school. Maybe you do transfer just because it's not even about the sport. It might just be about the school. So, you know, understanding that there's a story to everybody is a huge key to the transfer portal.
I think that's very well said because I agree. I love the transfer portal. I'm with you. There are cases where it can be abused. There are cases where we have to dig a little bit deeper and look and say, okay, could have been they didn't get along. They didn't like the situation. They, you know, and again, a lot of players, David, unlike you, there are some players, a lot of college players that don't have, you know, maybe they're not going to go to another level and play those to play their loved sport. That this, they're going to be there for 3, 4, 5 years, who knows, and then it's over. So it's kind of like, man, you're going to just sit it out or be in a situation you don't like where you're not going to get the best of it. So I tend to like it, and I'm with you too. There can always be the, hey, you got to realize the grass isn't always greener. My guess is it's going to kind of balance out as we all kind of get used to it, don't you? You're not going to see, it's not going to feel like there's as much transferring going on any given year.
Yeah, I would say so, definitely. And then also, I hope there's someone who can educate these high school kids on, you know, what really goes on in recruiting and you know, just deciphering it and making the best decision for them and their family. You know, just understanding that, because I feel like that's a missing piece in the recruitment process. But, you know, I don't know how to, you know, implement that or anything. But, you know, there should be, you know, a better, you know, education for, you know, high school athletes.
All right, got one last one for you here, David, and then we'll take a break and wrap up with what's coming up next for CSU. This one from Heath. Any game day rituals or superstitions for Roddy?
That's a great question. Really isn't any superstitions. You know, I just, usually, if it's a home game, you know, we end up, at Moby, I think, 5 hours before the game to walk through and everything. And then after that, we have our pregame chapel with our team chaplain. That's about for 15 minutes. We'll eat before that and then chapel. And then, just get treatment and clear my mind. Either meditate or listen to music or maybe take a quick nap or something like that. And then, it's pretty cookie cutter from there, just shoot and warm up. Yeah. So, it's pretty simple.
So a couple of different things that you kind of cycle through depending on the mood.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Depending on, my energy level or, how I'm feeling that day. Yeah, there's definitely different choices.
All right, great job. This was good. Last week was all movies. We spread it out a little bit. We actually talked a little basketball with you today, so that's kind of fun. All right, David, coming up, we'll get to Tulsa, Alabama, the two non-conference games left on the schedule before you jump into conference play, so we'll talk about those. Alabama lost last night, so we'll just take a quick preview before we let you go. This is the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKS.
And we're back to the David Roddy Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. David, I'm glad you brought that game up a few years ago. Was that your freshman year already? Was that the three overtime game against Tulsa a few years back?
Yeah, that was my freshman year.
I'm trying to find the stat. Okay, there it is. Okay, we got the box score up. You had 17 points in that one, 11 boards. Of course, Isaiah Stevens had a game. Kendall Moore had a nice game. Three overtimes. Like you said, you guys found a way to pull it out in the end, 111 to 104. You probably remember everything about that game, too, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. It's ingrained in my memory for sure.
Now it's another. I mean that was it. I remember that now. At first, I was like, "Is that the long game where they had all those crazy overtimes?" But maybe this time around, we don't go three overtimes. You know, just take care of it in regulation, right?
Yeah, hopefully. That's the plan.
That's always the plan, man. Okay, so you guys got Tulsa coming up, and as we kind of talked about, this is a tough basketball team. And then on the 21st, you're going up against Alabama. I watched that game last night too. I was kind of shocked. Alabama was 3.5-point dogs in that game. I thought that was crazy. They end up losing to Memphis. Memphis is a really good basketball team. But the record doesn't really show it. They end up losing 92-78. So I don't know. Did you watch the game, David, or did you get tape? As far as that goes, or is it all Tulsa mode right now?
Yeah, I did watch the game. Memphis definitely showed out and played their hearts out. They made some lineup changes that really helped them. There's a little bit more veteran leadership on the court, so that really helped them. But Alabama didn't really shoot well from beyond the arc like they usually do. They usually shoot great. Just understanding that and also they came off a huge emotional win over Houston.
Yeah.
2 days prior. So understanding that and everything, it was a recipe for, an underwhelming performance. So, Alabama's still a great team. They're a top 10 team, but we still got to focus on Tulsa right before them.
Yeah, and that just goes to show you how difficult it is, even if you're the top team, one of the top teams in the country, and now you guys are, but how difficult it is to be at your absolute best and if you're every single night, and if you're not, to pull out those wins. I mean, it's difficult because Memphis is looking at that game saying, hey, we win this game, that is really going to bump us up, and they've had a kind of a brutal schedule, so that was a huge win for them.
Yeah, definitely it was. I mean, kudos to Penny and his team. I played them last year, and they're a really tough team to play. So, getting that huge win for them after that, four-game losing streak was huge for their program.
Well, some big contests coming up. We were looking forward to it. You got that Mississippi State one done 10-0 through 10 games. Got you guys in the top 25, sitting at number 23 again. So many great things continue to happen for this program. Two big ones coming up in the next couple of weeks, going up against Tulsa and then Alabama. And then we can start talking about this Mountain West Conference play, too. So that's going to be a lot of fun. David, it's a blast as always, my friend. Yeah, you're doing a great job on this program. You've got a career in radio whenever you want it. You've got one, my friend. So I've had so many people excited about this show. So we just appreciate you taking the time out of your busy week and your busy schedule each and every week to do this with us.
Thank you, man. It's always an honor.
All right, my friend. We'll catch up with you soon, okay?
All right, go Rams.
All right, go Rams. There it is. David Roddy. It's the David Roddy Show, airs every, what is this, Wednesday? Every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, depending on the schedule sometimes. But we do want to thank Crazy Carl's Pizza. Man, that pizza is the best. David's favorite is the Works. I'm kind of more of a traditional guy, and they have those little pepperonis. The little ones, when you cook them just perfectly, they kind of form into that bowl shape. It's just absolutely wonderful. Their pizza, they get that garlic spread throughout. If you haven't had it, you're missing out, man. My mouth's watering just thinking about it. 42 minutes after the hour. All right, we're going to stay with Colorado State. We're going to bring Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and coming up, talk about signing day for the Rams and see if we can have any updates. What sticks out the most to him? We'll talk about it next.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-seven minutes after the hour, big day, an exciting day for football teams all over the place. You know, we're keeping an eye on a little bit of everything as far as signing day. But I'm telling you, and again, we cover a little bit of everything here. The excitement is where Kevin Lytle is today in Fort Collins. A lot going on with this Rams team. And Kevin, talk to us, man. I'm seeing a lot of wide receivers, 4 million quarterbacks. It's just absolutely chaos over there in Fort Collins.
Yeah, they Jay Norvell and staff are loading up the air raid offense with the combo of some really high-ranked high school guys and then picking off some chosen ones from Nevada. So a lot has happened today. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the names from today, you're going to see a number of these guys on the field, you know, that first game to start 2022.
Yeah, that's what I was going to, I never know, who's going to be those guys, especially from the high school side of things. But the things I'm catching, obviously Nevada, it's like the entire city is over there from Reno. And then Inglewood, California, there's a lot of there, a lot of Aledo, Texas, too. So a lot of those names sticking out. And boy, California, we knew Coach Norvell. He talked about recruiting California. He's good at it. He's got a handle over there.
Yeah, I mean, he's hit California really hard, specifically the LA area. You mentioned there are three guys from Inglewood High School that have signed. They just flipped Mecky Fox, who is committed to UCLA, flipped to CSU, a receiver from Pasadena. Many of the guys transferring from Nevada are also originally from California, so they've really hit that state hard. And I think that's obviously you're just trying to find the best players and they have ties there, but it's also reinvigorating the fan base a bit. Some of CSU's best teams are, have a lot of California kids. There are a lot of alums that have been kind of tuned out to the program that I think are getting excited again. So it's one of those, it's serving several purposes right now.
All right. So what sticks out to you? Well, number one, is it Clay Millen? Is that the number one thing, the quarterback that sticks out to you at this point?
Yeah, I think you have to kind of circle him as the number one takeaway or whatever you want to call it, because I think Clay Millen is your front runner to be the starting quarterback, because I don't know who else it would be. Yeah, he's only a redshirt freshman, but a year in the system, really highly touted guy. We know Todd Santeo is transferring, so I think Millen is the guy. And then some of the other Nevada guys, I mean, Torrey Horton, he lit CSU up 2 weeks ago. He had two touchdowns in the first 4 minutes of the game. Melquan Stovall, another good receiver from Nevada that's going to play a lot. I wouldn't be surprised to see Avery Murrow, running back, play a lot. A couple defensive guys from Nevada are going to play. And then a bunch of O-line transfers as well that are probably starters. So you have, like I say, I'll break it down a little more once I can digest the whole list a bit. But there are a number of guys today that not only are going to play, but are going to start next fall, and like I say, I think Millen most likely is your QB1.
Oh, that's going to be very interesting. I know Rams fans excited about that prospect. Talk to us a little bit about their wide receivers. I saw to tight end as well, Jordan Williams. That is a big person, very big, 6'7", 195 pounds. Jay Norvell said, I want to get big. I want to get big with receivers, tight ends. Overall, there's a lot of big offensive linemen, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of size. The 6'7" obviously jumps out, but there, like I say, Mekhi Fox is one. He had a great high school career. There are a couple of those guys from Englewood, Lewis Brown and Justice Ross Simmons had really good high school careers, and they fit that kind of lanky, athletic receiver type he had described. And again, receiver is a spot that you can play early. You know, obviously there's developing to do there, but if you can go get the ball, they can find space for you. So a couple of those guys, a couple of the transfers, you know, maybe some of the guys still here like Adonte Wright, and you kind of know what your receiving core is, I think.
So what do you think about Donte Wright? I mean, so many wide receivers, some of them are going to play, as you said. What does that mean for Donte Wright? Is he going to fit in nicely? Is he going to be a big part of what the Rams are doing, or maybe won't be a Ram next year?
Yeah, I mean, right now I think he's still on board to the best of my knowledge. And the thing about Norvell's offense is they really spread around. I think when I was looking at the numbers, they had either five or six receivers with more than 35 catches last year.
Wow.
So it's not going to be, you know, we keep talking about Trey McBride, and rightfully so, with 90 catches. You're not going to see a guy with 90. You're going to see five guys in the 40 to 80 range. And that's why, you know, a guy like Donte, obviously he doesn't fit the, you know, 6'4 profile that Norvell talked about, but he's a really talented guy that Norvell absolutely, you know, would be able to find a way to get him the ball. So yeah, right now I think he's still in the mix, and assuming he is here in the fall, I think he'll absolutely play a role.
We're talking to Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Any shocks to you at all on this list? I had talked to Coach Norvell last Friday kind of about the bump and run, you know, don't let quarterbacks have any room. So I thought we might see a little heavier on the defensive back side, the cornerback side of it. But does that shock you at all, or what does stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely thin there. That's probably something we'll see in late signing day, a little bit more focus there. Because, yeah, the defensive side's still looking like it's going to be thin. But that's probably not a surprise. I mean, I know everyone's excited, but it takes more than just one signing period to you know, reset a roster. So there's going to be some ups and downs. But, yeah, I think it's very heavy offensive, you know, building that air raid right now.
All right, so Twitter's telling us all these great things. I'm loving the coaches' tweets. We've got the 1990s wrestling game going on. Absolutely love the NWO tweets. But you tell me, Kevin, is it as good as advertised, right? I know, we won't know until it's on the field. Some of these players have been on the field, though. Just from your gut reaction, looking at these names and how today's going, because I'm trying not to get too fanboy-y here. What do you think? Is this look as good as advertised so far?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, I'd say this is really, really good class, especially with how short a time period they had and a mix of guys that can play right now and some development guys, especially, you know, with the transfers. Those are guys that can help you right away. So, you know, it's a long time until season starts, but right now I'd say you have the makings of a pretty darn good offense and a defense that probably is going to hurt a little bit, you know, if I were to look big picture. But again, we have a long way to go. But on paper, I think it's fair to be very happy and excited if you're a CSU fan.
Hey, if you can score 60 points a game, you don't need a defense, do you? Right? I mean, that might be the way to go. Kevin, I know we got a Zoom thing coming up. I know you're there. I'm going to jump on. I don't want to get blown away on the way over there, so I'm jumping on. I know Trey McBride's going to talk, and then we're going to hear from Javon Norvell, so I'm looking forward to all of that. And great job by you, man. You guys put this out. I love the breakdown of all the players, the details available at the Colorado, and excellent work by you as always.
I appreciate it. It's a crazy week, but a fun one.
All right. So we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you.
Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. A lot of offense. You're going wide receivers. And again, a lot of 6'1", 6'2s. I thought maybe 6'3", 6'4s would be there a little bit more, maybe, but... You know, long, lanky guys, and we'll see how that transitions. And then you got that monster tight end, who I think he can play wide receiver too. I mean, again, tight ends this day and age, they can line them up anywhere. So, big day for Colorado State. Interesting day for CU. UNC, I'm going to get more details, hopefully, on that tomorrow as we break into it. Short time, but we'll be back at it for 2 hours on a Thursday. That's going to do it for us. Do not forget, we got a long list of lineup here. We got Betting Across America. We got the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Probably going to keep you up to speed with weather. UNC Arizona tonight, 6:30. We start the pregame show, 7 o'clock. Jerry Schimmel on the call. Good night, Northern Colorado.